Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Happy New Year, and thanks for being with me tonight, the first program of 2012. And that's our topic for the night. Tonight, I have Claudia McNeely back with us, and we're going to talk about 2012. What does all this stuff about 2012 mean? What's really going to happen? And how is it affecting us? But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. One of the things that's unusual about the way that I do shamanic practices is I do very few rituals or ceremonies. It's pretty sit down, take care of what I need to by being quiet and doing it inside of my vision, and write the report. You know, it's not, there's not a whole lot of drama to my practice. But as those of you that have been listening to me for a while know, 5 months ago I had a hip replacement. And one of the things that was an interesting conversation with my surgeon was typically when they cut the chunk of bone out to put in all this high-tech stuff that they had, that they replace your hip joint with, they just throw it away. It's just considered biological waste. And to me, as someone who's a shaman, who respects all life, who looks at things differently, this chunk of bone had been my teacher for decades. I didn't realize that this problem with my hip was congenital. And, you know, one of the things is I wasn't just a klutz and not very athletic. It was that there was a problem inside my body that kept me from doing some things that were easier for other people. There were all kinds of struggles in my life that came from this little piece of bone not being normal. And I learned all kinds of things I would not have learned if that had not been the case. So this little, from the medical point of view, problematic bone was my teacher. And I couldn't see throwing it away as a piece of garbage when it was my teacher and deserved respect. First of all, parts of your body deserve respect, should have a respectful ceremonial burial of some sort. But for me, this was very important. And I didn't know in the middle of, you know, the surgery and all the craziness that goes on with that, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. But after several conversations and talking to the administrative goddess of the surgical suites, we basically got permission to do that, and it was tagged and it was bagged in one of those red bags with a biohazard marker on it. And my friends took it home and put it in the freezer for me. And it stayed in the freezer basically untouched until a couple of weeks ago. And I knew that it was important to do a ceremony. I knew that the ceremony was going to involve a sacred fire. And that was as far as I had gotten. But also not very long ago, I met Chick Weatherby, who was my guest just before New Year's, who is another shaman, does amazing work. And I called up Chick and I said, hey, you do sacred fires as part of the groups that you lead. Do you have a spot where we can do a fire? He said, sure, the next time that you're up in New Hampshire, come on up and we'll figure it out. So we spent 2 hours having some amazing experiences. And if you've never done shamanic rituals and ceremonies, you don't know the kinds of wondrous things that happen where the fire responds to your thoughts and your statements and your prayers and all kinds of things that most people would look at and go, did that just happen? And we look at each other and we just smile because we've seen it happen before. It's a communication between the people doing the ceremony and the forces of nature. So there were three of us. We did the ceremony. When it was all done and the fire burned down to coals, I found the little chunk of bone, which was now basically charcoal, and saved that. And basically shattered it so that it's now, you know, just the kind of remnant that you would have if there was a cremation. But it's a, you know, it's a baggie's worth. And in that ceremony, one of the things I did was, besides thanking that bone as my teacher, I also became conscious and allowed myself to remember all the things that had gone on in my life because of that. And I let them go, and I let go of the emotions that were attached to it. And I just said, okay, thank you for all of that. We fixed it in my body. Now I can let go all of this stuff and start a new part of my life. So for the last 5 months, I've been in physical therapy. Things have been improving, but there was still pain. There were still things I couldn't do. Couldn't walk for more than maybe 10 minutes. However this stuff works, I can only tell you the results. I went to run errands yesterday, and I decided instead of taking the elevator in the building I was in, I would walk. And I walked up 3 flights of stairs. No pain, no big deal. I just walked up 3 flights of stairs. Now, to the rest of you, for most of you, that's not a big deal. For me, it was a really big deal. I have not been able to do that in over a year, but probably in over 2 years. Walking upstairs was one of the things that I really lost and was one of the reasons I considered the surgery at all. The second thing was I decided I would just walk to the post office this evening to pick my mail up because I have a P.O. box. And I walked to the post office and I was feeling good. It's not very far. So I walked up to the center of town to the next traffic light and crossed over and came down the hill on the other side. I basically walked half a mile with a spring in my step, no pain, and I'm sitting here now hours later and I have no stiffness and no pain. And I'm doing the happy dance because that hasn't happened in over a year. And I was talking to my daughter about it. I used to walk 2 to 4 miles a day, and I haven't been able to do that for over 10 years. The only thing that changed, I'm doing the stretches that the physical therapist taught me. I'm doing exercise either at the gym or taking short walks. I'm doing the things I need to do. But something dramatic happened. Because we did ceremony, because we respected the process, because we respected the emotional content of that part of my body and completed something, completed a process, which the surgery started but had to be done on another level. So for those of you that are not familiar with all of this, maybe that gives you another little look into what shamanism is about, what metaphysics is about, what looking at things at multiple levels and at deeper levels is about, and how it can affect your life. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing, and now I get the great pleasure of spending some time with my good friend Claudia McNeely. How you doing?
Hi, David. That was beautiful. I really enjoyed listening to that.
Oh, thank you. It was an amazing thing to go through.
Oh, I know it was.
We have a picture. Susan took a picture of the fire, and in the smoke, you can see a face.
Oh, I mean, wow.
There were amazing things going on.
Oh, I bet. And
I haven't been in a place where I've done much ceremony or worked with fire or water or the other things that I used to do. When I did that kind of ceremonial stuff, it was profound. It was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a beautiful story.
Well, thank you. So what's with this 2012 business? Everybody knows, well, you know, there's a lot of hype. And some of it some of it's based on the Mayan calendar, and I love the cartoon that shows the guy saying, this is all I had room for on the stone. Right. And the other guy says, boy, that's going to freak somebody out in the future. You know, it's the end of a cycle, and there's a story in the Mayan tradition about the world changing at the end of that cycle. Mm-hmm. And it also coordinates with alignments of mm-hmm. our solar system and the center of the Milky Way, which is a real physical astronomical thing that's going to happen and hasn't happened in, what, 26,000 years?
Right. So do you remember Y2K?
Absolutely.
And all the hype, you know, we were going to lose our electric grid. We weren't going to have water. We weren't going to have food. You know, there was all this hype about Y2K when the year 2000 rolled around. And, you know, people were storing food. They were storing water. They were doing all this survival stuff. And then Y2K came and went and nothing changed. And that's how I see 2012. It really is. It's a lot of hype. We are changing. Our world has already changed. Our world will never be the same again. I think it's changing daily. We can never go back. And I think this really started back in August. Wasn't there a solstice or something back in August that set all this off?
Yep.
Yeah. And ever since then, I think I even wrote in one of my newsletters, everything has changed. Our world will never, ever be the same again. We will never be the same again. And we're constantly, there's this constant change going on right now. And we're going to continue to change through 2012, but I really don't see a whole lot of difference once we get to 2012. I think more people are going to be more spiritual. You know, in 2011, well, it actually started in 2010, and into 2011, all these truths have been coming out. People can't keep secrets anymore, you know. And first it was on a global level, you know, global secrets coming out, political secrets, all that kind of stuff. And now it's boiled down to a personal level. You know, I was noticing today and thinking about it that I'm reading all these articles lately about these black basketball players and football players that are being divorced by their wives because they're messing around. You can't keep secrets anymore, even on that level of having an affair. And we have to get into integrity. That's going to be bottom line. We have to be in integrity because any lie that we tell is going to come to light.
Right.
And I think that's going to be one of the main differences that we see. People are going to be, like I said, we're going to become more spiritual. I think some of the truth about religions is going to come out. A lot of the dogma in all religions, and it's not just Christian. I know a lot of people look at the Christian religion and say, oh, well, this is just nothing but dogma. Look at all the dogma in the metaphysical spiritual religion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know, I have been really appalled recently, you know, since I've been on Facebook and I'm on all these lists with all these religious or spiritual people. The ego in these people that are supposed to be, you know, spiritual people, and the ego, if we don't get that ego under control, you know, these people are going to have a really hard time with this switch because they're not in integrity at all. And that's really sad to see because we're supposed to be the ones, or we think we're the ones, that are in integrity. And I see, you know, a lot of people that aren't, and that's really sad, and we really, really need to work on that one.
Well, that's why it's called a path.
Right.
You're not there.
Exactly.
You're not there yet. But
exactly.
The way it was put to me quite a while ago, and not just for a moment about Y2K, I was writing for computer magazines at the time, and I got to do a piece where I talked to the people who were going to Montana with food and ammunition, and the geeks who had already solved the problem were saying there was no problem at all.
Right.
And I remember the coming of the next ice age, which was in the 1970s, which fortunately we didn't do anything about because now we're talking about global warming. You know, the hype and the desire for people to have something to be afraid of and run away from has been there over and over again throughout history. But the way that I've always looked at this stuff, including the internal process, is that there's this dynamic between light and dark on the planet. And different traditions will say different numbers of years, usually 1,000 years, but sometimes much more than that, that the dark has really been in control of this planet. But it operates in shadows. That's the nature of the dark. So there are manipulations and things which are now coming out, like actually talking about who crashed the economy. That never would have happened 10 years ago.
Exactly. So
the image I have is that the level of light is so high that the shadows are almost gone. All of these things that always were being done are now being done, but you can see them.
Exactly.
And these dark forces don't have a new set of strategies. They've been doing it this way for thousands of years. It's always worked for them. What they're going to do is dig their heels in and do more of what they always did.
Right.
And
you know,
we're watching that with people saying the stuff that they're saying in politics and religion and
right.
all kinds of stuff that never would have been said in public.
Right. And, you know, I think Occupy Wall Street was the game changer.
Yeah.
I really think that when they start, when these kids, thank God, I didn't think it was ever going to happen. But when these kids finally stood up and said, enough, we're taking back our country, that was the game changer. They tried to ignore them. You know, it wasn't anything mentioned in the mainstream media. It was just mainly on Facebook. And they really, really tried to ignore them. But it reached a point that they couldn't ignore them anymore. And they finally had to report, this is happening. You know, these kids are doing this. And they're mostly doing it very peacefully. You know, there's always going to be a few people that cause problems. But most of the stuff they've been doing has been very, very peaceful. And they're in a very peaceful way. These kids are taking our earth back. And the politicians have been, you know, they'll say they're going to do something and people will start writing in and all of a sudden they have to back down. And I've seen that happen several times recently where they've been backing down from things.
It's interesting. They're witnessing what's going on. They are feeding back to the people that are doing this, this is what you're doing. And they're saying, no, it's not. And they're saying, oh, yes, it is. And here's the proof.
Right.
Oh, no. And it's in my world where, you know, dealing with dark entities is something that I do. One of the most powerful things you can do is hold up a mirror.
Yeah.
Because they're going to throw all of this stuff at you trying to hurt you. And it just goes right back to them. And in effect, that's what Occupy Wall Street is. It's a mirror. It's saying, here's what you're doing. Here's what you're doing. Here's what you're doing. You're responsible for what you're doing. You're responsible for the outcome. You are part of a larger community. You are responsible for all of mankind and the damage that you do. What are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
And basically, you know, the 1% in that terminology is saying, oh, just leave us alone.
Exactly. Let us go back to doing what we were doing, you know, close the blinds, don't look at us. Yeah. I really thought it was wonderful what I heard Occupy Oakland did. You know, when they closed the park in New York, they got into a little bit of a tussle with the cops, which was the wrong thing to do. So in Oakland, when they went to throw them out of the park, all of the protesters left the park, and they started marching. And as they marched, they picked up more people, and they had music going, and they were just having a great time, and they were just marching. They weren't going anywhere in particular. There was like they said there was like a block of them, and then a block of the cops following them. And after about 3 or 4 hours, the cops realized that all they were doing was blocking traffic, and they weren't succeeding at doing what they were trying to do, so they gave up, and the Occupy people went back to the park.
I hadn't heard that last part. Yeah,
they said that's the way to do it. Don't fight with them. If they come after you and want you to move. Go, you know, just start walking. Right. Let them follow you until they get tired of it, and then go back to where you are.
Right. Well, there's
and
there's
I think that's wonderful.
There's a wonderful quote from Gandhi, who obviously is the master of all of this. And he said, first they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they fight you, then you win.
Right.
You know, that there is a process. And
one of the things that I got excited about was how quickly there was a police response and how quickly they backed down from it. Because they started to fight them and immediately realized this isn't going to work.
Right. And there was times that they were given, the police were given orders by the federal government to, you know, go in, attack these people, get them out. And the police went, wait a minute, these people aren't doing anything.
Right.
We're going to leave them alone. And I thought that was really great. I'm really, really excited about the Occupy movement. I'm very excited about it. I really think that's going to change our world because they're making sure that everybody knows what's going on, and more people are waking up every day. And that's what this year is going to be all about, is
right.
people waking up. That's going to be what this year's about.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be some really intense energies. You know, I've noticed since the first of the year, you know, I do an energy report every day on Facebook.
Yep.
Just, you know, I look at the energy and, okay, what's going on today? And when I've been looking at the energy the last few days, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to interpret what I feel and stuff. But today when I looked at it, it was like I was seeing some of the energy was very calm and peaceful and moving in a straight line. You know, like you're moving towards your goals and you can go mm-hmm. and it's everything's smooth. And then there was this other energy that's just total chaos, going in all different directions and all over the place. And that's, I see it being like that for a while, that it's, we're going to get caught up. Some of us are going to be in that real smooth stream, and then the next day we can wake up and we can be in that chaos. But we're going to be, it's going to be just this big jumble of differing energies for a while until it settles down. And I don't know yet how long it's going to take it to settle down. But something else I've noticed is that, you know, in August, people were reporting all this really bad pain, back pain, hip pain, foot pain, neck pain, headaches. The headaches have been tremendous. Chest pain, heart palpitations, all this physical pain that went on. And since the first of the year, just before the first of the year, I've noticed we're switching from, it's not as much physical, and now it's going into emotional. People are complaining about being in grief. The sadness, the depression, all of these emotions coming up now. So it's like we worked through a lot of the physical things the last part of last year, and now we're moving into all this emotional stuff that we've got to heal.
Right.
So that's going to be interesting. And there's a group of us, and this was an issue that I had when I first started the energy reports. There is a group of us who have made a contract with Mother Earth that we're going to take on her pain, the pain of the people of the earth, and we're going to help them heal. And that was a contract that we made. We can't get out of that contract, even though we would love to. And I call this earth sensitive. Some people call it universal surrogates. There's different names for it. But there's a group of us that made that agreement, and we're the ones that are feeling all of this stuff that I post. And when I first started posting these, people would come in and say, well, I don't feel that way, so you're just crazy, you know, things like that. And I almost stopped doing the reports because of all the nasty comments I was getting from people. But then I had people start contacting me and saying, oh, thank God, I thought I was going crazy. You know, it's good to
right.
know what's going on. And so that has kept me going and kept me doing this. And I'm really, really helping a lot of people to understand. And it's those of us, this is a group of us that have made this agreement. It's not going to fit everybody. It's not going to pertain to everybody. Because not all of us made this agreement to be an earth sensitive.
Right.
You know, some people made agreements to do different things. So, you know, the report is mainly for those of us that are earth sensitive. And I am looking for a way to block the energy. So far, I haven't figured it out where we don't have to, I don't think we have to actually feel the pain and stuff to heal it.
Well, we can talk more about that because I want to talk about ascension symptoms. But
okay.
We're going to need to go to a break. When we come back, I want to make sure I give your contact information so that people can find you. And we'll also give the call-in number so that people can join this conversation, because this is a juicy conversation, which is part of the reason that I wanted to have you on for the first show of the year. So we will be back in just a few minutes on Empower Radio with more conversations at the intersection of metaphysics, shamanism, psychic phenomena, the paranormal, and 2012.
I want to change some things. I want the moms where I live to have childcare they can trust.
I want to make sure my little brother and his friends have a safe place to play.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
Help more hardworking families learn how to budget and save.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
Want to make a difference? There are so many ways you can. Help create opportunities for everyone in your community.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I mean, I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, sweetheart. Where's the little guy? In school?
Yep, just dropped him off. Is your hair getting whiter, or is that paint?
Actually, I'm painting your old room.
Did you take down my David Cassidy posters?
Nah, I painted over them.
Dad!
Just kidding.
Why were you painting my old room?
You had a purple room.
Moby Grape.
Well, your mom and I are upsizing. We're hosting a foreign exchange student from Cairo.
What about me and your grandson?
Come on, it'll be a great experience for everybody.
We'll never see you. You'll be taking her to the museum and the zoo and...
Sweetheart, you know how great it'll be for my grandson to experience another culture. He could learn another language, new customs.
I never thought of that. Got an extra paintbrush?
The time is now. Open up your life. Find out how to have a foreign exchange student live with you. Every family has something special to share. Go to hoststudents.org. That's hoststudents.org.
Imagine my grandson speaking Arabic.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Fire at the Shed.
Gee, Johnny, this rope swing sure is swell.
Don't I know it.
Hey, it's Sassy. I think she's trying to tell us something. Mr. Gunderson? What about Mr. Gunderson? A fire? Mr. Gunderson's trapped?
Where, Sassy? Where?
What, Sassy? Now that you've got our attention, you'd like to take a moment to talk about shelter pets? Shelter pets in general are well-adjusted, healthy, and love being with people?
Sassy, we don't have time!
Pets often end up in shelters due to owner problems like divorce or allergies?
That's great, Sassy, but what about the fire?
There is no fire! You're just messing with our heads?
Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Claudia McNeely talking about 2012 and ascension symptoms. But I want to make sure that we give the call-in number so that people can join the conversation. That number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Call, ask us questions, make comments. This is a juicy topic. So, Claudia, if people want to learn more about what you're doing and read your materials, where do they go? How do they find you?
My website is askclaudia.com. Very simple to remember. There's like 10 years, 15 years worth of information on that site. It's a huge site, lots of information, lots of free information on there. I do readings. I do all kinds of alternative healing, coaching. There's not much I don't do. So I'm always available to help. I'm also going to be doing a lot more teaching this year. That's one of my focuses for this coming year is I want to teach more. Because we're moving into a period where it's going to be really hard for people to get medical care. You know, if we're caught in an area that has some earth changes going on and we're not able to get to medical care, we're not able to get medication, we need techniques for healing ourselves. And that's what I want to do, is be able to work with people and teach them ways that they can heal themselves to do things. So that's kind of where I'm planning to go this year.
That's very important, and you're the first person I've heard talking about that. Right. I know a lot of people that are talking about survival skills. You know, what are we going to do if we have no electricity grid, and no food, and the usual variation on the themes, although not necessarily running to the hills with ammunition and food. But serious questions, what would you do? The question that has really not come up is, you know, how do we take care of ourselves and each other in terms of medical care?
Right.
And that's
right. Very, and I think that's
important.
Only going to be if we're caught in an area where there is something, you know, an earthquake or whatever. And it's only going to be a few days. I don't see any massive, you know, I know people talk about it, but so far I'm not seeing it, where there's any massive where we need, 6 months worth of food or anything. I think it's going to be just short periods of time that we're going to, you know, we may have to fend for ourselves.
Well,
I don't see it being long periods.
There are some people that think it's going to be massive problems, especially with red skies and assorted other things. But you track, as part of your energy report, things like seismic activity and volcanoes and solar flares and solar winds. So you're really in touch with that kind of stuff. So it's encouraging to me that with all your knowledge of that and all the time you've been tracking that, you're really not seeing bigger patterns.
You know, the thing that's important for us to remember, and I think sometimes we forget this, the whole universe is ascending. A lot of the problems that are going on the earth is, well, some of it is due to governments playing where they shouldn't be playing. You know, I know that some people consider that a conspiracy theory, but I know governments have caused earthquakes, all kinds of damage to other countries. It's back several years ago, Kay Bailey Hutchinson here in Texas had introduced a bill to make weather manipulation legal. And that bill was passed, and it was shortly after that Katrina hit. A group of us have always believed that was a man-made storm. So, you know, we have that to deal with. But a lot of what's going on is the universal energies, just everything. The sun is changing. We're having more solar flares in the last year than we normally have in years. It's been a really, really intense year for the sun. The sun is ascending just like we are. And as it ascends, it's heating up. You know, when you raise vibration on anything, it gets hotter. You know, so the sun's getting hotter. The earth is getting hotter. We're getting hotter. When there's a solar flare, those of us that are really sensitive, our skin will start burning. That's one of the first things that I notice is my skin will just, it'll be like it's on fire. And that's, you know, a sign to me that there's a solar flare. I have a certain spot in my back that when there's going to be an earthquake in Indonesia, and why Indonesia, I'll never know, but my back will feel like it is about to explode. And once the earthquake happens in Indonesia, then my pain's gone. So I've learned when I feel a twinge in my back, I start sending healing energy to Indonesia, and that calms a lot of my pain down. We need to send healing energy to the earth. You know, all you have to do is just close your eyes and just imagine healing energy going to the earth. You don't have to do anything special. Just ask that healing energy be sent to the earth. That's very important because she's hurting. She's in pain just like we are. But I think, you know, we forget that a lot of what's going on, like the global warming, a lot of that is that the vibration is increasing, and it's just a lot of it is an earth change. A lot of it is things that we have control over, but some of it isn't. Some of it is just changes that we're going through and changes that we're going to go through. But they use, you know, I don't know exactly what HARP is used for, and HARP stands for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. And it was originally started so that they could send messages to submarines, I think. And they now use it to fire up the ionosphere. And I think one of the things that I think they're doing with it is that they're protecting us from some of this solar radiation coming from the sun. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons that they're doing the contrails, the spraying, because I've noticed when there's intense solar flares, all of a sudden I see them spraying. And I think there's a connection there. I think they're, in one way, they're trying to protect us from the solar activity that's going on. So it's not all bad, but then they do use it also for mind control and to cause earthquakes. They're saying that the earthquake in Japan that caused the tsunami was done by bombs that were, you know, put in the ground. We'll never know. Well, we might know for sure one day, but not anytime soon. But there's a lot of things going on, and we just have to be aware. We have to pay attention to what's going on in our body, pay attention to what's going on around us, and if something doesn't feel good, get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing.
And, right, it's one of the most important things.
Yes, and animals are ascending too. You know, we forget, I think, sometimes that animals are going through the same stuff we are. They feel the pain. They feel the anxiety and all the other stuff. So it's not just us. It's the animals and wild animals, not just pets.
Right. I want to give the phone number again, and then I want to talk a little bit about your definition of ascension. For those of you that are just dying to get involved in this conversation, the number is 248-809-3474, 248-809-3474. Claudia, you have the simplest definition of ascension that I've ever heard, and it's easy to understand because there are a lot of people that are saying all kinds of things. And if I'm understanding you correctly, ascension is just vibration getting higher.
That's it.
It's the frequency of everything rising, and that's affecting everything, you know. So every quantum physics has confirmed that basically everything is an energy field. And some of that energy field, when observed in certain ways, becomes physical particles that act like matter, that gain mass and act like matter. So it's that bizarre thing that light can both be a vibration and be a stream of photons. Somehow everything that we experience as being physical is a form of energy that we're experiencing as particles. And all of it's vibrating at a different frequency than it used to.
Right, exactly. So, and as your vibration goes up and it gets higher, the denser vibrations, the issues that you've held on to for so long, the anger that you had towards your mother when you were a kid, all of this stuff is coming up for us to have to heal it so that we can, our energy can continue to increase. But
right.
I don't see us vibrating out of here. The earth is still going to be here. I don't see the earth moving, going anywhere. I do see, and this is kind of hard to explain, but I do see kind of like two earths, and it's more of an energetic type thing, I think. But, you know, in my reality, I don't associate with people that do drugs. I don't associate with people that commit murders. That is not part of my reality. So I don't see that. It's not around me. I don't see it. It's not part of my world. So that's what I think is going to happen in the separation of the earth, is that those of us that are higher vibration, we're just not going to be around that kind of stuff. So there'll be the third dimensional stuff still going on where people kill each other and all that stuff, but it just won't affect us. It won't be around us. That's how I see the difference.
Well, that idea of there being two planets, this being Earth 1 and the other one often called Earth 2. My friend Maggie Landman in Australia, who I want to get back on the show to talk about this stuff, among other things, she's in Australia, and she's the most clairvoyant person I've ever met. I mean, when she describes the amount of data she's seeing all the time, I don't know how she walks around. But she has a set of energy essences that were given to her from guides on Earth, too, in this other dimensional existence of Earth, to help prepare people for the ascension, for the changes that are going on. They're literally from another dimension and another vibration. And she can see the differences in what Earth, too, is going to look like and feel like and all of that. It's for her. she's living in literally in two worlds. And in terms of sensitivity, she calls herself an earth whisperer. You know, her major focus is healing the earth. I have a friend who's a plant whisperer. You know, I can call her up at any point and say, there's this guy in my window who's not doing too well. What's going on with him? And she'll diagnose him the way I do diagnose people.
Right.
And she actually had a sensitivity where she would wake up despondent and crying and not know what she was crying about.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd, of course, call me and say what is going on? And we finally figured out that somewhere on the planet, a large number of mothers and children had either died or were in distress.
Yeah. Diane here says that 98% of everything that we feel and think doesn't even belong to us.
Right.
It belongs to other people. So that's a lot, you know. And we do, you know, there are a lot of people are saying that they're waking up depressed and full of grief. And it's because of all the stuff going on around the world. And we're picking up all of these energies that are swirling around the earth. And that's, you know, there are some things that we can do about that. And I want to get into that real quick. It's very, very important to drink lots and lots of water. That's very important. Water helps the body to integrate the energies. When there's solar flares going on, it's real important to get more water, to take a shower more often, to soak in bath water, anything to do with water, because that helps cool down that fire from the sun. And it also helps to get some sea salt. And I'll usually take like a half a teaspoon and put it in my hand and lick it off and then swallow it with some water.
Mm.
But that helps your adrenal glands. It helps detox your body. It's really good for you. And that helps, too, to integrate that energy. Keeping our chakras balanced, that's something else, because they're getting, I've noticed the second and third chakras lately are really being thrown out of alignment. So we really need to work on our chakras. Grounding ourselves, keeping ourselves grounding, eat lots of protein. That's real important. We've got to keep that connection with Earth, because a lot of people have had foot pain, and what I'm seeing with that is as our vibration rises, it kind of pulls us up, and it kind of disconnects us from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what causes the feet to hurt and legs. So keeping that grounding is very, very important. And, of course, energy healing, emotional healing. And on my website, I have a technique that is wonderful for the emotion, and we're really going to need that going through however long this period is where we're dealing with emotions. And that's a technique called the energetic clearing technique. And it's, you know, this is free on the website. And the link for that is askclaudia.com/energyclearingtechnique.htm. And it's just a really simple technique, very, very good for healing emotions. And that'll help a lot of people in going through all of this. So those are the things that I found so far that help. I'm working on some others, trying to find something that will help us to be able to let go, not necessarily let go of the promise that we made, because I can't do that. When I think about letting go of the promise that I made to help other people in the earth, I look at that and I go, I can't do that. I agreed to do that for a reason, because they can't handle it, and I could. So I'm trying to find another way that we can deal with the energies without actually having to feel them. And when I find that, I'll definitely share it with people.
Well, and it's a big issue for everybody. The whole thing of not knowing whether an emotion or a thought is your own is the issue for all empaths that don't know their empaths.
There's a really simple technique that Dane here taught. Dane here is with Access Consciousness. And I'm about to start studying that. I'm really, really excited about it, because I think it's kind of the next level of the healing that I already do. But he says a truth will always make you feel light, and a lie will always make you feel heavy. So you just ask yourself, when you have a thought or you have an emotion come up, you ask, is this mine or does it belong to somebody else? And if it lightens up, then it belongs to somebody else. If it gets heavy, then it's yours. And this will happen to me, where it lightens up and then it'll get heavy. And that means it's not yours, but you've accepted it. So you need to heal yourself and why you accepted it. But that's a real interesting technique that I've been working with to help.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, he says if it's not yours, you just ask that it be sent back to where it originated with love. Because it could have originated 50 million years ago, and, you know, you just pick it up. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting in Ho'oponopono, which I think you know is one of
that's
the things
beautiful.
That I use, the Hawaiian technique. The perspective is that there is nothing that isn't part of you, that everything starts within you and your consciousness, because everything you're experiencing, you're attracting to you, even if you're unconscious of how you're doing it.
Exactly, yeah.
So in Ho'oponopono, you go inside and you have a conversation with your inner child and your inner divinity, and you ask for forgiveness, not because you've done something wrong, but because you're carrying this stuff.
Wow.
In effect, you're asking for the energy to be forgiven. So,
wow.
you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. As a way of healing within you, the part of you that manifests the problems that we see all over the world. Which,
exactly.
and, you know, people inevitably say, how did I start the war? You know, how did I cause whatever it is that they don't like? And it's like, well,
yeah.
it's not conscious, but you contain within your consciousness that element of things, or it would not be happening around you. You wouldn't be aware of it.
Exactly.
So
and
you
I
need to
part of,
need to clear
part
and release
what,
that.
And I think part of what we did that helped create the war is that so many of us have had our heads in the sand. We sit there and go, well, everything is love and light, and as long as we focus on love and light, that's all we have to do. And while we're sitting and focusing on love and light, they're out there starting wars. And,
right.
you know, I had a disagreement. Well, I think you were involved in it the other day on Facebook where, you know, this girl was saying, well, you have to stay focused on the positive. Well, yeah, you know, we do need to focus on what we want to create, but we also need to be realistic. And it realistically is certain things are going on in our world that need to be changed, and they're not going to be changed if we have our head in the sand and just look at love and light.
Right. And to me, it's about boundaries.
Yes.
You know, indeed, love is the most powerful and most important thing, but love without boundaries is still going to be challenged and won't necessarily have the focus to be able to solve whatever is going on in that moment.
Right. And we may be here.
And the forces of darkness
light.
Don't care that
exactly.
you're focusing on love. They're going to continue
exactly.
to try and do what they do.
Exactly. And some people are here. They're very unloving people. They enjoy hurting somebody else. They enjoy committing murders. There's a new thing, and I don't remember what they called it, but there's a new thing with teenagers where they'll be walking down the street in a group, and they'll come up on this older person that you know, they think can't protect themselves, and for just no reason at all, attack the person and film it and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they have actually killed somebody doing this. There's people out there that are just nothing but evil, and we have to be aware of that, and we can't just sit and say, oh, well, as long as we love everybody, it's okay. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. It
right.
would be nice
exactly.
if it did. But we're here, and I don't know about you, but I'm here as a light warrior. I came in to save the world. We're here to fight and save the world.
Right.
And we can't do that if we have our head in the sand.
Yeah. Well, you know my work, and that's exactly my work. And one of the catchphrases that I have all the time is, not on my watch.
Right.
You know, this is not going to happen on my watch without my intervening in it. And I'm here. That means if I know about it and it's not right, I am responsible to do healing work about it.
Right.
And sometimes that's incredibly painful and draining.
Yeah.
You know, people say, how long does it take you to do a clearing? And it's like, well, somewhere between 2 minutes and 2 days.
Or 2 weeks.
Or 2 weeks or a month. And,
I had it
you know,
last, yeah.
Some
yeah.
of them are
you know,
really
I charge
easy. And,
people, I charge people by the hour. You know, I charge them like a 3-hour session. But that 3-hour session limit takes me 2 weeks to complete, you know?
Right.
And I,
right.
you know,
and,
but you have to come up with a charge form for the work.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
And one of the things for me is I can sit down sometimes, and I think the last time I sat down for several hours and just did clearing work, I did 14 clearings that day. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, I'll sit down, and the second one is just thoroughly draining, and I am basically shot for the next 3 days. So how do you bill for that?
Exactly. I know.
Yeah, I
know. And people don't understand, and they don't understand the danger in it. And that's something that, you know, I get all the time is people contacting me, and, you know, they, especially these kids these days, they don't have any sense, and they start playing with things that they don't even know what it is. And you can get your butt kicked really hard by some of these creatures if you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly.
And, you know, they don't understand that, and then they want me to jump in there and fix it for them.
Yeah, well, I always say, you know, you wouldn't tell your best friend, look, just go downtown to the bad neighborhood, go to that alley that you everyone tells you to stay out of, go down that alley and knock on the door. There's going to be some folks down there doing something interesting. I'm sure it'll be amusing.
Exactly.
It's like, no, you wouldn't do that in the physical world. Don't do that in the spiritual world. That's just dumb.
And you have to learn to protect yourself. And that's something else I have free on my website is a lesson on psychic protection. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to protect yourself. And, you know, you can pay, and I've seen people do it, pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have somebody remove stuff from them. But they don't know how to protect themselves, so it just comes right back.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so
a lot of that has to do with childhood abuse, with all kinds of earlier stuff that needs to be healed so they can create those boundaries.
Right. Yeah, that's a big part of it, too. But people want everything healed in one session, too, you know?
Yeah, it took me 40 years to screw this up, but could you fix it today?
Exactly. And that's, I get a lot of that. I get a lot of that. People thinking just one session and that's it. Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes it does clear in one session, but not always. It all depends on how willing we are to heal.
One of the reasons I love talking to you, Claudia, is we have the same experience. like everybody else, we do it slightly differently, but we're doing the same kinds of things, so it's great fun to talk to you and hear the same things I'm going through.
We're very down to earth, you know. We're not airy-fairy. We're very realistic and down to earth, and we know what's going on in the world.
Right. Well,
and that makes a big difference, too.
Again, I want to make sure people know where to find you. It's askclaudia.com.
Mm-hmm. And they can find me on Facebook as Claudia McNeely.
And that's McNeely.
I do they can catch my energy report either on my blog, on my website, or on Facebook.
Right. And you have a support group for people who are having ascension symptoms where they can discuss that and get information about what's going on.
I have a page on a fan page is what they call it on Facebook. It's Claudia McNeely Divine Empowerment.
Terrific. So people can find you a lot of different ways on Facebook. I want to thank you so much for being on here. This just whizzed by.
I always love talking to you. I know.
Well, I'm going to have you on again. There's always more to talk about. I'm going to have certain people who come on every month or every couple of months so that we can continue the conversation because they're such good conversations. So thank you so much for being with me. I want to make sure that people know where to find me, which is at househealing.com, houseehealing.com. If you go to the contact link, that cleverly, every conceivable way of finding me is there. We will have another wonderful guest next week, but I don't know who it is yet. So like everything else that I do, it's quite mysterious for the moment. And I want to thank everybody for the wonderful holiday season we've had and all the good work that everybody's doing. And this is going to be an incredible year. We don't know exactly what's going on with 2012, but it's not going to be same old, same old. A lot of things are going to change, and we'll do it together. So thank you so much for being with us. We will be back next week, same time, same place, here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. on Empower Radio. My name is David Farkas, and I approve this message.